we know these days. So I'm going to be talking about when he comes. Can we have a slide up there? That's great. So we're looking at Holy Spirit, and we've had a great theme and emphasis so far on the Holy Spirit too. So let's just have a reminder. I'm going to read from Acts 2, first four verses. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Pentecost was the day when everything changed. This was the day the prophets spoke of, a new day, a day of the Spirit, a day when the old covenant was being replaced with new covenant, no longer external laws motivating, but now there was an internal power source inside the people of God. No longer circumcision, a sign that you were God's people. Now the receiving of the Holy Spirit was the proof and the sign that you were the people of God. This was the day everything changed. This was the day Jesus foresaw when his disciples would receive the same power and the same anointing that he had. So he charged them, wait. Don't go and try to fulfill the commission I've given you yet. You will not be able to do it. It's totally impossible. Wait. Wait for power to come from on high. And they did. The Holy Spirit coming changed everything. So much more than a touch. This was a baptism, an overwhelming of power. And all of those in the upper room received. And they all spoke in tongues that they'd never learned before. That was a supernatural sign in itself. They all spoke languages they'd never been taught. And actually the people outside understood what they were saying. It was supernatural. It was a sign the Holy Spirit had been poured out from heaven. So such a disturbance, it needed some explanation. And so Peter stood up. And we're going to look at part of the sermon which he preached. This was his first sermon. And towards the end he says this: God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. So all of this, this strange and bizarre happenings which you can read about in Acts 2. Peter's explaining, Jesus has gone to heaven, Father has given Jesus the Holy Spirit to be poured out, and this is the result. And he goes on in verse 36, therefore let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children. And for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. 2,000 years later, in a different part of the world, that promise applies just as much today as it did then. Wow, well, this is Peter's first sermon. And over 3,000 people responded to the call for salvation and were baptized on that particular day. And Peter quotes the prophet Joel. He says, no longer is the Holy Spirit just coming on special people. But he's not just available, he's promised to all who believe. all flesh, all peoples, men and women, young and old, not just leaders and pastors, not just evangelists or prophets, but everyone who calls on his name is eligible to receive power from on high. That's what was different from the New Testament to the Old Testament. So on this special day in the church calendar, I want to ask you, have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you been baptized by Jesus in the Holy Spirit? You see, so many Christians try to live without him. So many buy into religion, into man-made methods, and they end up in legalism and a religion, and there's a form which they follow, but there's a lack of presence and power. And many settle for it, and they think, well, this is church. This must be what the church is like. This is how it's meant to be. But for so many, it's settling for the good and missing the best. I want to show you a little clip from a film I saw recently, if you get that ready in a minute, Jamie. The first clip is of a new believer. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit the day before. We see what happens. And the second clip, we'll play them together, is one of a woman being baptized. She'd given her life to the Lord. And you'll see what happens. And you will hear the pastor, the leader, you'll hear strange language. If you're not used to that, you know, he's Danish, but it's not Danish. This is speaking in tongues. This, you know, don't be worried about it. Come and see me afterwards. We'll probably touch on this a little bit later anyhow. But I just want you to have a look at this video clip. And just be inspired by what you see. Thanks, Jamie.
Come on, all come together. Watch what's happening. You're going to see what God's going to do today.
Okay.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Who wants to come first? Who's got a problem? Come on, you got blisters.
Okay.
You got pain in that ankle?
No, on my foot. Like I've
on
just
your
got
foot?
Blisters everywhere. I don't
okay.
think that really matters though.
Be healed in Jesus' name. How do you feel? Move your leg.
Oh my God. No, I don't feel anything.
Really?
Yeah, I don't feel anything.
On a scale of 1 to 10, do you feel any pain?
Only 2. Probably.
Okay, let's pray again. Bones come into alignment. Be healed in Jesus' name.
Oh, my God, that's crazy.
It is. Isn't Jesus awesome? He's amazing, isn't he? Absolutely.
No, thank you so much.
You sure? You're not just saying this to please me?
Being legit. I can actually walk.
Fantastic. Walk and show me. Come on, walk.
Oh,
no pain at all?
No pain at
Fabulous.
All.
Fabulous. Praise Jesus. Praise him. Praise him. Who's the next? Come on.
I have joint pains in my knee.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. How long have you had it for?
Started like towards end of middle of last year, and it just comes and goes.
And what would you say is the pain level right now? Can you feel any pain?
When I put pressure on it, it feels like something's like just point.
Okay, let's pray. Knees, joints, be healed in Jesus' name. Move it now and see how you feel. Just move it around.
That's a bit funny. Like, feels funny.
It was there 2 seconds ago.
Is it gone?
It doesn't hurt.
At all? Completely?
At all. Like, I'm putting pressure on it. Like, if I put pressure on it normally, I have to, like, that's a bit...
Whoa. Is it completely gone?
Yeah.
Praise God for that. You know, this healing happened how? By the power of Jesus. That's what it is. It's Jesus that does it, not me. I'm not any special person. I'm just a messenger. Anyone else has got anything? Come on.
I recently recovered from a sprained ankle and I still get pain every now and again.
Do you have it right now?
A little bit.
Move it around and see what kind of pain you have.
Yeah, I've got pain.
Okay. Ankles, be healed in the name of Jesus. Move your ankle.
Oh, that feels me.
Come on, walk a little bit.
What the?
Isn't he amazing? I mean, I'm as amazed as you are, because you know what? I'm a new Christian. I've just been baptized in water. I've just received the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I spoke in a foreign language, just like the Bible says. And then the Bible says, go out and heal people. Don't listen to the religious denominations of Christianity. That's all rubbish. And that's all religion. True followers of Christ do what Jesus tells us to do. And that's what we're doing. We're just simple, ordinary people, just going out and listening to what Jesus said.
Why is there a fight going on? Because Satan don't like it. But now we are going on the water, and then she's going to come up, and you're going to see her freedom. You're going to see her freedom and a new life. Look at, just kneel down. Don't be afraid. Lean down. Just kneel down. There's freedom. No, you can. You can. You can. You can. You can. In the name of Jesus, you can. You can. It's a new life. But Satan is a liar. Satan is a liar. He has been lying. He has been lying. And he don't want you to give everything over to Jesus Christ. Because when you give you over, he's going to set you free. And Satan's going to lose, and he don't want this.
It's free. It's in you. Yeah, it's coming up.
You can.
My knees don't want to bend.
No. Go down in the name of Jesus.
All right. Jesus didn't say.
And she wants to. She can, her knees don't want to bend. She cannot get out. There is a fight going on. But in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you. Just go down. In the name of Jesus, just go down. Down, down. Just go down in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, go down. Go down, go down, go down. In the name of Jesus, go down. Are you ready? Are you ready to get baptized to Jesus Christ? So on your own faith, we baptize you to Jesus Christ. Just go down. Die with Christ, up with Christ. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Say it, go. Leave her, leave her. Oh. Hallelujah. Do you experience the freedom? You're free.
Amen.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, God, stand up. How is it?
Thank you.
Feel it right now. Holy Spirit, come on.
Come on, a new life.
Wow. It's for us all. Everyone. Everyone. All people. All people. I can't watch that without getting emotional. And if it's not that bit, it's another bit of the film. He's for us all. That guy we first saw gave his life to the Lord the day before. Baptized in the Holy Spirit. Baptized in water. The next day, no prolonged prayer. Ankle be made well in Jesus' name. Total healing. He's available to us all. He's available to us all. He's been poured out on all people. And that's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes in power. Evangelism on the streets is different because miracles take place at the hands of ordinary Christians. This was what was happening 2,000 years ago. And it's been happening through the centuries ever since. This was New Testament Christianity. Baptism was different. It wasn't symbolic. It wasn't, well, I ought to get baptized because, well, that's what Christians do. Baptism was very much part of the salvation package that Peter preached. We read about, repent, be baptized, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when the guy there is talking about baptism, it's as we've explained before, it's a funeral, it's the old life dying, it's new life coming up. But sometimes I feel we've said the words, but we've not experienced the power. And when I saw that woman there and the fight that was going on, and I want to show the film to my cell. I guess we'll show it to everybody at some time if you want to see it. Well, you can see it anyhow. But there's so many people fighting when it comes to baptism. And yet when they've been baptized and deliverance and freedom has come, as you saw, she was a different person. The power of baptism, the power of dying to the old and rising in the new. And that's the power of the gospel. The book of Acts, I always tell you this, my favorite book. We could call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's all about the church being empowered to be witnesses, starting in Jerusalem, then Samaria and Judea, and going to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit came for purpose. He came to enable us to be witnesses. He came that we might have life, abundant life. He came to set us free from everything that held us back in the past, that we might be free to live for him. It's not just a witness in the sense of see what Jesus has done for me. that's a witness in itself, but it's a witness in the sense, see what Jesus has done for me, and he can do that for you too. It brings hope. The gospel brings hope. You know, once my life was an absolute mess, once I was chained to tobacco, once I was chained to drugs, once I was chained to alcohol, once I was a workaholic, once, but now, God's come and I'm free. He set me free from having to work every hour of the day to get the best sort of house and everything else. He set me free from having to smoke and waste my money on tobacco. He set me free from the power of all of this. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the gospel. And church, as I look at this video, I think, guys, we're on the way. We're not there yet. We're on the way. There's more. And it comes through the Holy Spirit coming upon each and every one of us. All people who believe. But many of us have been deceived. Whereas Jesus came to bring abundant life to all who come to him, many of us believe the lies of the enemy. And we think life without God is much more fun. It's okay to be promiscuous. It's okay to sleep around. Marriage and faithfulness, it's old-fashioned, it's boring, we think. It's not natural. We think it's great to get drunk and to have a good time. It's great to smoke and to take drugs. The world calls it freedom. But they don't realize it's the total opposite. And there are always consequences. And there are chains which bind us, just as there are, by the way, in sex outside of marriage too. Or for others, it's working all hours, as I've mentioned, to have this higher standard of living, or borrowing more than we can afford and getting into unmanageable debt. These are chains. It's quite normal, we say, because we compare ourselves with our colleagues or our neighbours or maybe our family. All my friends have overdrafts. They all live up to the limit on their credit cards. Don't spoil my fun. Marriage and family become low priorities. And we see the consequences, more divorces than ever. Children having to choose between dad or mum. And outside marriage, children being fathered, and they never even know who their father is. The world is mixed up and it's considered normal. Saw in the paper yesterday, I didn't read the article, but the headline was, children as young as 3 going to sex clinics where the parents take them to get a change because they feel they're born in the wrong bodies. How does a 3-year-old know? And yet the parents have been so deceived, they're believing this little 3-year-old baby and taking them to the clinics. I don't know what the outcome of the article was. And we consider it normal. I don't want to offend you, but you know, even 2 men or 2 women bringing up a family now is considered normal. As is the same-sex marriage. For centuries, marriage was between man and woman. But in our wisdom, we've decided, 2,000 years later, we'll redefine marriage to include, at the moment, same-sex and heterosexual marriage. It's not normal. We are being deceived. Where Satan rules, it's all about me. It's what I want. It's about me, my family, my home. And the church gets tarnished and contaminated with such an attitude. We swallow the lies. We think money will make us happier. And it's just another lie. I've traveled to Africa on a number of occasions. I've seen little children with absolutely nothing except for a few bent bits of metal and some Coca-Cola tops making their little toys. And I've got to say they're happier, or some of them are happier than some of the children I see here with all the computer games and the latest this, that, and the other. Money and stuff is not the answer. Britain may be more well off materially now than ever before, but we are much worse off spiritually, emotionally, quite possibly physically too. In fact, not only more family breakdown than ever before, there's more stress-related diseases, more stress-related days off work, more depression. Why? Because we've been deceived. We think it's normal to live like the rest of the world live. We are believing Satan's lies. He doesn't come to bring life and freedom. He comes to sow destruction. That's his aim in life. And then we have the audacity to blame God for the consequences of us rebelling against his ways. The Bible tells us Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his aim. It's not to bring happiness. It's not to bring freedom. He comes to wreck and to ruin humanity and to turn us away from God. But Jesus comes to bring eternal life, overflowing life, life to the full. What a total contrast. So Peter, he preaches to the crowd. He says, you need to change your thinking. You need to turn around. Leave the past behind. It's going to kill you. It won't save you. And church, we need to do the same. If it applies to us, we need to respond. And if it applies to those in the world that haven't yet found the Lord, we need to share the good news of repentance. Turning away from all that leads to destruction, there's hope, there's life for you if you turn to Jesus Christ. I know it's not popular, but it's impossible to receive and enjoy the abundant new life Jesus wants us to enjoy if we want to try to keep on living the old way. Some tell me, Neville, it's not working for me. I've tried church, I've tried religion. That's the problem. It's not about church and religion. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about the Holy Spirit in our lives. And if you've really tried him, I refute that argument. He will work for you. He will work for you. But if you want to try to keep the old and the new, do you know what it's like somebody who decides they want to lose weight? Every lunchtime they just have a salad and a few bits of fruit. But the meals either side, it's cakes and it's crisps and it's all the other stuff that they shouldn't be eating. And they say the diet's not working. I've tried salad and fruit. It doesn't work. Deceived. Stupid. Of course it's not working. Because you haven't done away with the old. You've kept all the old stuff. You've kept the cake. You've kept the crisps. You're not going to lose weight. But get rid of the old. Let the new take place. Wow. You'll see a change in your shape. So, where am I? So, Peter says, repent. And that's what I've just described. It's changing your mind, changing your actions. It's time to put down the old and take on the new. And that's what baptism's about. And when you see that documentary, you'll hear them say time and time again, die to Christ, rise in Christ. Die in Christ, die in Christ, rise in Christ. Put the old to death. Put the old way of living to death. Rise up a new person with the power of the Holy Spirit to live his life. One of the key conditions to receiving the Holy Spirit is that place of surrender. Surrender. That's what repentance really is. It's realizing that when I managed my life my way, it really wasn't going anywhere. I'm going to change managers. I'm going to change bosses. I'm turning away from the old. I'm surrendering and giving my life over to King Jesus. Prince Satan, and he's the prince of this world, has wrecked it. But I believe, King Jesus, you can resurrect it and change it. I turn away from him. I turn to you. I was just reading this morning in some of my Bible notes. I've read this a little bit before because I do it quite regularly. And this was just how it started. In his book, All I Want Is You, Bishop Sandy Miller describes attending a conference in California some years ago, at which he saw the Spirit of God working in powerful ways. When it was over, he went for a long walk along the coast. He writes, "As I was walking, I was caught up with the excitement of all that lay ahead and the thrill of the Spirit of God. I was saying, 'Lord, I will give you anything you want. I will do anything you want me to do.' Sandy continues, I can honestly claim to have heard, to have only heard the Lord speak about three times in this way, but as clearly as I've ever heard him speak, he said, all I want is you. It was the most humbling thing. He can do anything he likes, but all he wants is you. Total surrender. He doesn't want your car. He doesn't want your house. Doesn't want this, doesn't want that, doesn't want... He just wants you. He wants your heart. He wants you to surrender because he's got a plan for your life and it's much, much better than what you've ever experienced before. So I want to encourage us. We come with that heart. We come with that attitude. We have a ministry team in a few minutes and we're going to pray for everybody that wants prayer. But I want to say more of the Holy Spirit, more surrender. Stuff which has come up in your lives, Christians, stuff which has come up in your lives, stuff which you're holding on to, stuff which you've never let go. You might be surprised what God will do. If you can just come to that place, putting it all down. I surrender. I give you my life. Come and fill me again. Have your way, Lord. Your will be done. I receive your forgiveness. And I forgive all those who've offended me. I'm sorry for my ungodly lifestyle. I'm turning away from those ways. I'm wanting to live my life for you. Fill me, Holy Spirit, that I might be a witness. It really is that quite simple. What the Bible says, we do. We follow. We obey. And that's what repentance is about. Change lives. When he comes, we receive the power to be witnesses. When he comes, chains are broken. Healing and forgiveness flows. It's a transaction of love. His love overwhelms us. And we have love to give away to others. Our hearts begin to change. Debs was touching on this last week. Our hearts begin to change when he comes. Our priorities begin to change. Now, we're concerned for our families and our friends. We're not convinced they're going to heaven at the moment. They don't seem to have faith. We want to pray. We want to share the gospel. We want them to understand. We receive the heart of Jesus. Before, we were just a bit apathetic. But now, there's love burning in our hearts for souls to be saved. Life is flowing. There's love, there's peace. Joy like we've never experienced before. We prayed on Alpha for the Holy Spirit to come. And one gentleman in the back row, he said, I don't know what's happening. There's a joy. I feel happiness like I've not felt for a long, long time. I shouldn't be feeling like this. My life is a mess. I've got, I should be more depressed than I'm feeling right now. What had happened? Circumstances hadn't changed. Holy Spirit had come. He touched that gentleman. I'm not sure he's given his life to the Lord. Maybe he did then. I don't know. But the Holy Spirit came, touched him. Joy came into his heart. That's fruit. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He doesn't want depression. No depression in heaven. That's a worldly thing. It's joy. It's happiness. It's life. It's love. No longer are we half-empty Christians. When the Spirit comes, at the very least, we're half full Christians. We're receiving his life, his love, his glory. We're tasting and seeing he's good. He's very, very good. And I'm not going to go back to where I was before. All of those promises didn't bring me what I'm feeling now. The life of God is in my life and in my heart. I want others to know. And so on this special Sunday, I want to invite us. Let's turn from our old life. Let's choose surrender. Let's choose to empty ourselves. Sometimes there can be things like disappointments. Sometimes it's discouragements. Sometimes there's stuff that's just, our mind is just full of decisions we have to make. And maybe they're not always straightforward and easy. But I just want to invite you. Jesus says, come to me. I'll give you a rest. Come to me. My yoke's easy, my burden's light. Empty yourselves and let him come. and fill us with his love. That's why Jesus died. Religion won't satisfy. Church, in one sense, won't satisfy. It's Jesus that satisfies. And he's inviting you to come. And if you're not yet a Christian, there's an opportunity today to give your life to Jesus. And we're going to pray. We'll pray a bit later. If you've repented and you haven't been baptized, it's part of the salvation package, I believe. Speak to your cell leader. Come and speak to Jackie or myself. We'd like you to be in cells. We're not quite where they are on the film yet. We'd like you to be in cells just so that we know you're serious. We know where things are in your life. And we'll baptize you. We'll arrange to have a baptism service. And if there's some of you which are just saying, I'm not sure I've ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure I've ever received the power of God. Or maybe I did once, but I'm just drier now. There'll be opportunity for prayer on this Pentecost Sunday. And as we've prayed already, we'll pray again. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. We need him. Amen. Amen. Would you like to stand? There is so much more he wants to give. You might have been a Christian 40, 50 years, like some of us here, or more. There's still more. There's still more. There's still so much more. Some of you might not even be saved yet. The best is yet to come. Jesus died that we can be restored and reconciled to God. He died to set us free from all that pulls us away from God, make it possible for us to come into his presence, forgiven, cleansed, no shame, because of his incredible love and grace. He paid the price for all of that stuff that separated us. And then he wants to give you a new life and fill you with his Holy Spirit. That's his plan. That you can do like that guy did on the film as well. Like we're all going to be doing. Ministering the power of God because he's come into our lives. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. We take the first two steps. We repent. We decide to be baptized. And he gives us the gift. And that's what being a Christian is all about. So I just want to ask, better say it with our heads bowed, so we're not embarrassing anybody. Is there anybody here today that says, I want to give my life to Jesus? I'm not yet saved. I need new life. And I know it's through him that I can receive it. I just want you to indicate by showing me your hand, please, so that I can see. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? It may be some of you have wandered away and it's just, I want to come back to God. I want to come back to God. I need to recommit. Then you just put your hand up too. I want to give you that opportunity to recommit to God. Receive his life again. Turning away. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Turning away from the old, receiving the new. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to pray for everybody in a moment or two that wants prayer. Those of you which have put your hand up to either recommit or commit to the Lord, nudge your neighbor if they're a friend of yours and say, can you take me to the front? I just want to come. I want to receive prayer. Just come to the front if you're able to. And we'd like to pray with you. And there's going to be a team which will just talk to you afterwards about that commitment you've made. So if you've put your hand up, would you just like to come to the front now and give God the glory about what he's done in your life? That's a big thing to do. I realize it's a big thing to do. Thank you. Thank you. It's a big thing to do. Salvation is a process. It's a journey. Praise God. Praise God for three of you. Praise God. Is there any more else? Anyone else? Four. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Salvation is a journey. We take steps. He helps us on our way. That's what the church is for. Church is here to help you on your way too. Holy Spirit comes, but the church is here to connect with you, to encourage you, to stand with you. Just reach out your hands. I just want to pray for these in front of us here. I want to pray the blessing of God, the blessing of God. Lord, I want to thank you for this bold decision which these guys have made today. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you've seen their heart. You've seen the intentions, Lord, in their inside. And they're making this step again to say, I want to recommit. I want to commit to you, God. I want you to come into my life. I want to receive you more. I want to surrender and give my life to you. Lord, I want to pray. Holy Spirit, come and encourage and strengthen them in this step which they've taken. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 For the few from ministry team, just come and stand with these guys, please. Is there anybody else? Somebody else has just joined me. Anybody else just wants to come? Just wants to come. Lord, we give you the praise. We give you the praise. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as you turn, as you surrender, as you decide to get baptized, if you've not made that decision yet, as you decide to get baptized, that's a step of obedience. The promise is the Holy Spirit will come. He'll come, transform, change your life completely. Completely. Complete freedom. Complete deliverance. Complete wholeness. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Lord, as they've made that step, I just pray, touch them now. Ooh. Ooh. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come again. Come one more time. One more time. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Shira ba 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 sa tu ba 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 sa tu. Shimaranto. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Change lives. Change lives. Lives are changing. Holy Spirit's coming. He will make all the difference. Jackie's got a team. They will be able to take this small group away. They'd like to share. They'd like to pray. When they're in that position to do so, that'll happen. We're going to sing a song, which I'm sure Richard's got behind us. And I just want to invite people, the rest of you, the Holy Spirit is here to change our lives. I'm provoked by what I saw on that video. Much more change than you realize God wants to do through you and in you. But it's the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit. So I want to invite you, if you want to receive more of the Holy Spirit, if you want to receive more, choose to surrender, decide to lay down your life, decide to be a follower, decide to be obedient, and come and receive prayer. And we're going to pray the Holy Spirit will come. Okay, so you can come during the next song, and we'll start to pray audibly afterwards so you can hear what's being prayed. So just make your way to the front if you'd like to receive more of the Holy Spirit.